Volume 1, Chapter 1. The Leeds and Skipton Railway runs along a deep valley of the Aire, a slow and sluggish stream compared to the neighbouring river of Wharfe. Keighley Station is on this line of railway, about a quarter of a mile from the town of the same name. The number of inhabitants and the importance of Keighley have been very greatly increased during the last 20 years, owing to the rapidly extended market for worsted manufactures, a branch of industry that mainly employs the factory population of this part of Yorkshire, which has Bradford for its centre and metropolis. Keighley is in process of transformation from a populous old-fashioned village into a still more populous and flourishing town. It is evident to the stranger that as the gable-ended houses which obtrude themselves corner-wise on the widening street fall vacant, they are pulled down to allow of greater space for traffic and a more modern style of architecture. The quaint and narrow shop windows of 50 years ago are giving way to large panes and plate glass. Nearly every dwelling seems devoted to some branch of commerce. In passing hastily through the town, one hardly perceives where the necessary lawyer and doctor can live, so little appearance is there of any dwellings of the professional middle class, such as abound in our old cathedral towns. In fact, nothing can be more opposed than the state of society, the modes of thinking, the standards of reference on all points of morality, manners, and even politics and religion, in such a new manufacturing place as Keighley in the north, and any stately, sleepy, picturesque cathedral town in the south. Yet the aspect of Keighley promises well for future stateliness, if not picturesqueness. Grey stone abounds, and the rows of houses built of it have a kind of solid grandeur connected with their uniform and enduring lines. The framework of the doors and the lintels of the windows, even in the smallest dwellings, are made of blocks of stone. There is no painted wood to require continual beautifying or else present a shabby aspect, and the stone is kept scrupulously clean by the notable Yorkshire housewives. Such glimpses into the interior as a passerby obtains reveal a rough abundance of the means of living and diligent and active habits in the women. But the voices of the people are hard, and their tones discordant, promising little of the musical taste that distinguishes the district, and which has already furnished a Caradus to the musical world. The names over the shops, of which the one just given is a sample, seem strange even to an inhabitant of the neighbouring county, and have a peculiar smack and flavour of the place. The town of Keighley never quite melts into country on the road to Haworth, although the houses become more sparse as the traveller journeys upwards to the grey round hills that seem to bound his journey in a westerly direction. First come some villas, just sufficiently retired from the road to show that they can scarcely belong to anyone liable to be summoned in a hurry, at the call of suffering or danger, from his comfortable fireside. The lawyer, the doctor, and the clergyman live at hand, and hardly in the suburbs, with a screen of shrubs for concealment. In a town one does not look for vivid colouring. What there may be of this is furnished by the wares in the shops, not by foliage or atmospheric effects. But in the country, some brilliancy and vividness seems to be instinctively expected, and there is consequently a slight feeling of disappointment at the grey neutral tint of every object, near or far off, on the way from Keighley to Haworth. The distance is about 4 miles, and as I have said, what with villas, great worsted factories, rows of workmen's houses, with here and there an old-fashioned farmhouse and outbuildings, it can hardly be called country any part of the way. For 2 miles the road passes over tolerably level ground, distant hills on the left, a beck flowing through meadows on the right, and furnishing water power, at certain points, to the factories built on its banks. The air is dim and lightless, with the smoke from all these habitations and places of business. The soil in the valley, or bottom, to use the local term, is rich, but as the road begins to ascend, the vegetation becomes poorer. It does not flourish, it merely exists, and instead of trees, there are only bushes and shrubs about the dwellings. Stone dikes are everywhere.